Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Dad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. And let me say this, because I've always wanted to say it. Long Box Guys, assemble! Because we have an assemblage of Long Box Guys today. People who have been on in the past, all of the Long Box Guys in the present. Let me first say hi to our good friend, LT. LT, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I am drinking some Johnny Walker's Blender Batch number 3 tonight. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. I am drinking a Harvey Bullock, which is the last 3 shots that were in the empty, almost empty bottles of bourbon. So there's a little Grey Grouse in there. There's a little of Jack and a little Bullet bourbon in there. So we call that a Harvey Bullock because it's just the last dregs of whatever's left. Remy, how you doing, buddy? What are you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good there, Tom. I'm drinking some lovely mango bubbly. It's not a Harvey Bullock. What is that? I don't even want to know.
Harvey Bullock is delicious. Seth, from our friend podcast and our good friends over at Gamer Needs Food Badly, how you doing and what are you drinking?
Hey, just drinking a kombucha here, but just real quick, I got a big glitch up. Did y'all not get a glitch up?
No, but you're sounding a little glitchy right now. It's sounding like you're talking through a filter.
Okay, let me see if I can fix it.
Or that you're sucking out a robot dick. Are you sucking out a robot dick?
Don't tell everybody.
We'll get back to you in a second there. Diane, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am excellent, and I'm drinking a Diet Sunkist.
A Diet Sunkist? You're on niece duty today.
Yep, got to keep the 3-year-old from drowning in the pool later.
That is not my sector. Mikey, how you doing and what are you drinking, buddy?
I'm doing excellent. I'm drinking a beer called Munich Weiss from the Hofbrauhaus. And Tom's not answering this because he muted himself because his dog is barking. Josh, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing great, and I am drinking Rogue's Hazelnut Brown Nectar, which is just slightly above average, but has a particular quality that neither Christina nor Christopher enjoy. So I always know this beer is safe in my house.
Well played.
Well played indeed. I hope I'm coming in now. And today we have this big group together because we want to talk about Avengers Endgame.
I'm Thor.
Thor.
And before we get going, let's just say this. Spoiler alert.
Giant, huge, everything you didn't want to know, spoiler.
Seeing it made $2 billion, I can't imagine anybody who listens to this podcast hasn't already seen it. But if you haven't, go ahead and pause, go watch it, then come back.
We have a lot of listeners in Europe. Some of those guys might not have seen it yet.
Yeah, because Europe doesn't have Avengers Endgame. Jesus.
Jesus. All right, so we talked a little bit on our goat about the big emotional things. Let's just talk about, first off, did everyone feel that this was a complete ending? Let's start with you, Diane.
I thought it wrapped it up well. I will accept this ending. It's not the ending I wanted, but it's what we got, and I'll live with it.
Not the ending we wanted, but the ending we deserved?
Probably.
Remy, what did you think, buddy?
I thought it was good. It was not great. It was good. It did leave some loose ends there untied. Some things you're not that didn't quite get settled that we're not sure about.
All right. I think it's I thought it wrapped it up pretty well. Mikey, how about you, buddy?
I didn't like it after I first saw it, and then I went back and watched it a second time, and I enjoyed it a lot more when I just stopped caring about time travel. Once I let that go and took a deep breath, I was like, oh, you know what? Why am I not enjoying this movie? They have worked really hard on this movie. Just accept it. Go with it. I did enjoy it the second time around a lot more than the first time.
Wow, Mike, that must be such a nice feeling just to be able to let the thing that irritates you the most in the entire world go.
You're welcome.
So it wraps up an entire series of movies you've enjoyed very much where they're basically, just voided every moral decision they've made in the past 37 films so they can go back in time and do whatever the fuck they want. But no, yeah, I get it. You know, if you can do that on the second run, that's good for you. That's on you. And you are in an enviable position to me, Mike, because I'm not sure I'm ever going to be able to set that aside.
I can help you with it, Tom. Or Josh, I should say.
Thank you.
I don't think we have enough time for that much therapy. LT, what do you think, buddy?
So was this an ending or was this just a giant setup for Morgan Stark to become Ironheart?
Shut the fuck up.
It was not.
What? It was not. Not even close. What are you talking about? Are you drunk?
Yeah. I have been drinking for a while now, but I don't know, man. I feel like it's not going to be the end of these movies. It was an ending to this story, but it's not going to be an ending to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, no, it's a transition to the
course.
It made two.
Oh.
And I think Morgan Stark is going to play a role in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in coming movies.
I hate you so much. I want to make a sandwich of hate and eat it. A hate sandwich of your fucking head, you fucking moron. It's the
I have a slice of that sandwich.
Going to phase two. Seth, you want to split a sandwich?
Yes. Give me a slice of that sandwich. I want the hate sandwich.
Seth, what did you think, buddy?
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was very well done. And I think this was actually the setup for the multiverse. And, of course, we got confirmation of that with the Spider-Man trailer. So, definitely so. Mysterio is from a different universe.
Whoa. Unless we just all make the proper assumption that Mysterio is just fucking with everybody, telling him he's from the multiverse. That's Mysterio's whole gig. That's what Mysterio does.
Nick Fury tells us that.
Because Mysterio has mind-fuck Fury.
Sure.
That is Mysterio 101.
Yeah.
This
is the multiverse introduction for sure. The time travel stuff is set up for it exactly. And there's definitely some questions with everything, but I think as a whole, it was well done. And I think we addressed a couple of the issues Mike had in our recent podcast we released. So we're definitely glad to get into it on this one.
Loud a horn on it, but I mean, we are seeing the multiverse coming in.
Yeah.
They have set up this movie. Obviously, it made $2 billion. They're not going to stop making these movies. But they have set up a number of other possible movies with this. They've got LT, as much as you want to shit on him, he does make a valid point that they have set up a possible Young Avengers or Avengers Academy. Right, with some of the young heroes that they have access to now, including, you know, possibly Iron Man's kid or the kid from Iron Man 3 who was in the funeral. And also we've got Scott Lang's daughter, Casey, who we know becomes Stature in the Marvel Universe. So they're setting that up. And there was one other one. They're definitely going to bring in Namor because there's the only reason for that underground earthquake is because you want to bring in Namor to be the fucking Black Panther's next big bad.
They need to bring in Hawkeye, Kate Bishop. That's all I care about. Showing us Hawkeye's daughter and labeling her as Hawkeye in the credits and then not providing us with Kate Bishop is just a travesty.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a Hawkeye that isn't the Hawkeye that we've seen.
Did y'all know about the Iron Man's daughter? We were supposed to see an older version of her. That was the actress that was from 13 Reasons Why from the Netflix special.
No.
So originally that was in this movie, and they decided to cut it because they felt like it didn't really flow well. It would have been too confusing for audiences. But apparently they have already decided and had an actress that actually has a resume, not just a rando, be Iron Man's daughter, like the older version of her. Then it is possible we might get some kind of young Avengers type deal.
Now, I mean, I think it's a nice thought for those guys to pick up like the young Avengers. I'm kind of in for that. The way they've been doing things so far is really the mainstream sort of heroes. And it would be nice, and I think more so for the comic book industry, if they started creating things that younger people wanted to purchase, right? When all these movies that are on screen right now, I don't think you saw the traction Marvel wanted to on the paper and the comicsology, even the digital side, because these aren't things people adopted. They're just characters people knew. People still don't want to jump in the middle of these runs of long-standing characters, and if they can sort of reboot into something that's more relatable to young people and is new characters, and they can spawn that into print and digital media, I think they'd be. I think Marvel would benefit from that greatly, like pulling in a new generation of people.
I totally agree with that, and it might be wishful thinking. It's probably wishful thinking on my part because I really am enjoying the West Coast Avengers. And I see a little hint that some of those characters might be coming to the forefront. Gwenpool, the opening of the multiverse, Kate Bischoff. I mean, that might be where we're going.
So, Josh, you also want them to bring in some more obscure characters that are younger, like maybe a Speedball?
Yeah, we are really hoping for the new Warriors make an appearance because, you know, I need a skateboarding superhero in my life.
Yeah, totally relevant. That kid should just gleam the cube out of my life.
Don't fuck with Night Thrasher, you assholes. Yeah. Seth, where do you think they're going with this?
With the Young Avengers? Or you mean the multiverse altogether? I mean, I think actually with this whole thing, they're going to be going. I'm banking on Dormammu. I think that's going to be the next villain. I think the fact that we don't have the stones anymore has stopped. Like Doctor Strange ended, that was a bargain he made. So my thing is, I think we're going to head towards a multiverse. We're going to head towards more of the like Doctor Strange stuff and everything with that. I think anything Young Avengers related or any of that stuff is going to be Disney Plus stuff. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think you have a good point there, but Mike brought me around to his way of thinking when he said Doctor Doom is going to be the next big bad, and of course that earthquake from below is a little bit of the Beyonder.
Yeah, well, I think the earthquake below is Namor, but they're setting up first the Illuminati and then Secret Wars. So in the last Secret Wars that they had, they merged all the alternate realities into one. And this allows you to bring back an Iron Man, bring back a Captain America, all the characters that you love who have died and are too expensive for them to keep on, which, quite frankly, I don't know how expensive they could possibly be other than Robert Downey Jr. because he's getting a cut of the action. But everybody else, they're making $1 billion on a movie, you know, at this point. But they can bring in somebody totally different to play him and be like, oh, that's that universe's Captain America. That's why he doesn't look like our Captain America that we're used to. Or that's this version of Iron Man. He's a lot younger in this universe. They can combine them all and get new young actors to take over.
Yeah, I think I suspect Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I think we are going to see Adam Warlock, and I think we're going to see the recovery of one of the stones, and I think it'll be the Reality Stone. I think Adam Warlock will have the Reality
Stone. And we already know that Beta Ray Bill is going to be in the next Guardians of the Galaxy. That's been leaked. So we're coming up on a more cosmic Marvel Universe, even more cosmic than we've seen. So that really makes the Beyonder, you know, something that we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I do like actually that theory. That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I really think Dormammu is like a big bad for it, but doing the Beyonder, like, do you think that they're going to basically make this weird experiment with doing these different realities and then use that as a way to bring it back to one continuity if it really doesn't work out? Or, you know, maybe just keep it still like that if it does, and this is going to be a way of experimenting with different stuff?
I hate to throw anyone under the bus, but Mike, I think this is your purview. Do you think that they're going to go all the way Secret Wars? Because that's what we talked about earlier. You think they're going to go Secret Wars 2, or do you think they're going to go Beyonder Secret Wars 1? I think we talked about maybe Secret Wars 2.
We're talking not – so there's a bunch of different series, Secret Wars, Secret Wars 2. Those were both in the 80s. I'm talking about the latest Secret Wars that Hickman wrote, where they take the basic frame-up of Secret Wars and then use it to smash all the multiverses together. And the way they can get around it and say, hey, this is why it's happening, is because the Infinity Stones guard reality. And now that there's no Infinity Stones to guard reality, the fucking Beyonders can start destroying all these different realities where those 14,604,000 scenarios where Thanos destroyed the stones, now the Beyonders can come into all those different universes and just start smashing them all and destroying them. This also gives you a chance to get Miles Morales swinging around town with a young Peter Parker. How fucking awesome would that be? Right? They've introduced all these characters, and now they've got the television show that they're going to be doing. They've got Vision and Scarlet Witch. They've got Loki. They've got Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes. Those are all going to be TV shows on the Marvel streaming service. So how are they going to justify a Black Widow movie? Yeah, it's a different reality. And then later on, boom, all these realities, so that they can build up these different realities where people are like, oh, I really like that person. And then you can watch that reality get destroyed in front of you in a big movie and be like, oh my God, what's going to happen to that person?
Do you think that the Black Widow movie, like what we were kind of speculating on the recording we did, was that it could be a backstory of the Red Room, but then we actually see her with the other girl, Yelena, I think her name was, if I remember right, that also became Black Widow, and we have an introduction to a new Black Widow instead? Or do you think it would? Because I think, like, they will play with the multiverse. I don't know if we'd get whole movies that are just labeled multiverse. Like, because, I mean, I think one problem with that is that we get, depending on how crazy we get with this, it's going to lose audience members. It's going to be hard to wrap your brain around.
Right.
So I think that it may not be to where we get whole movies like that exactly. I kind of think that we might get spun off into, okay, here's a good reason for a backstory, and then we meet this new character that she knew back then, and then we get a flash up to now, and she's like comes up on the Avengers, and we get this new Black Widow character.
I think that will all depend on what the actress wants to do, if she's going to be signed on for multiple movies or not. They might just be telling us the backstory of what happened in Bucharest, right, with her and Hawkeye. You know, that would be a great story for them to tell, because we already know it's very important. So we can see how Hawkeye recruits her out of the Soviets and then gets her to join S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hail Hydra.
All right, well, that's all kind of speculation on our part. Let's talk about a couple of little pieces of the movie. We saw kind of an A-Force reunion kind of couple in there. Diane, did you get a super rush as our female comic book nerd? Did you get a super rush when you saw that A-Force gathering?
No, I didn't. And I'm probably the only one who thinks that that was a little forced. It's like, these male movie creators are saying, look, we're all about girl power. And it's like, dude, we know we're powerful. We don't need you to give us permission. We don't need you to tell us this. We need you to get your ass out of our way and let us do what we do. I mean, I'm fairly certain that me and your wives could take over the world, but the patriarchy isn't going to let us. We could run it better than any of the guys. It just felt like it was rammed, you know, into this one scene. Give us some background. Give us some how these people work together before this. Don't just, oh, look, it's all the girls. They're so powerful. No, I didn't like it. I mean, I liked the visual. It was great, but I felt like they were trying too hard.
Yeah, it was a nice poster, but yeah, it seemed like a really forced scene. And at the end of the day, did Captain Marvel need any of those people to help her get where she was going? No, absolutely not.
So as long as we're going over Captain Marvel, why did she fly? So she can fly straight through a frickin' spaceship and destroy it, but Thanos can just stop her as she's flying by, or anybody else could stop her? And the other question, of course, I have is, why didn't she just fly around everybody? Because she travels at super speed, right? She could have easily got to the vent by just going all the way around. Or up and down.
Up or over, down.
All right, I think I got an answer for you. Oh. So it's not Justice League. That's why.
Okay.
It's going to have a Justice League ending where, what are we going to do? We're going to resurrect Superman. Okay, you're Superman. Boink. Movie's over.
That's true.
That's why.
I mean, there's a little bit of that, but yeah, not entirely.
Does she have Superman-like powers?
I mean, she's flying through spaceships.
Doesn't mean that she's going super fast.
She flies faster than light. She flies through the galaxy without stopping, and you needing a ship, so
she's
flying pretty fucking fast.
Yeah. She certainly should have been able to get through that battlefield quicker than anyone else.
I think it's the same reason they didn't take the giant eagles to Mordor. It just would have made for a pretty short movie.
I think it was a little bit of a problem introducing her and the way they did, because you can even see in the movie, it kind of felt like they didn't really know what to do with her because she is kind of too powerful. At least that's how they wrote her in there. And so it might have even been better if we got her movie just after. And Tony Stark actually figured out a way or some other way that he got back to Earth. Not that the current Marvel movie wasn't, like, good. I mean, I thought it was a good movie and all that, but she felt shoehorned into this movie.
She's not going to be all that powerful after she comes across my girl Rogue. That's all I'm saying.
That's very true.
She also seems way more powerful than she was written in the comics.
Yes.
Way more powerful.
Could you imagine Rogue flying through a spaceship?
Like a battleship?
Could you imagine Rogue taking down Thanos' flagship?
Rogue didn't get, like, all the power.
She did.
Most of the power.
Yes. She killed her and took all of her power.
I know, but
that's... for psyche. Yeah.
But... Yeah. I'm reading all of the original Captain Marvels now because LT loaned them to me, and she seemed like she could fly through a spaceship or a battleship or whatever she needed to, but Rogue doesn't.
No.
All right. I could be wrong here.
Look at her villains that she has to fight. She can barely take MODOK.
Hey, MODOK is a badass.
We'll have to do a podcast on
just ass.
Also, she has to take on Steeplejack, a guy who has all the powers of a construction worker.
Yeah.
I love Steeplejack.
So let's talk about our favorite moments, or do you want to get into time travel, Josh?
I do not want to get into time travel.
Okay. I want to hear Josh's take on all the time travel.
Oh, you know, it's fucking... It's just a... fucking histrionic shit show of fucking excuses, and I we don't know how else to solve this issue in this. I fucking hate time travel. It's a fucking It's basically the ultimate MacGuffin. It's got nothing to do with anything. It should be eliminated pretty much from almost everything in the universe. Just this is no good thing to ever fucking come out of time travel.
But Josh, talk to me about Mjolnir.
Okay, Mjolnir coming back was nice.
Let's instead
No, but what happens to it? That's what I want to know.
Well, Captain takes it back in time, right?
Yeah, but how does he get it where it needs to go?
What? Mjolnir goes where it needs to fucking go. It's a goddamn artifact. More powerful than all the Avengers combined. Nobody knows how to use it right. Not even Thor.
So instead, maybe we should talk about the different characters and their story arcs, because this movie is really about the Avengers, the original Avengers, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's really the teletype of their stories and going back and trying to see what made them Avengers in the first place, which I think was very nice. It was very nice from a storytelling perspective to go back and reexamine everything they had done in the past. I just hate time travel.
Well, one quick question, and you guys probably have a very simple answer for me. Where the fuck's the Vision?
He's dead.
He's dead.
Soulstone was.
Oh, that's right. The Soulstone.
Mind Stone was taken.
He was destroyed before the snap.
Thank you, guys.
It doesn't matter. He's still going to have his own TV show.
Well, how are they going to bring him back without the Mind Stone?
It'll probably be a prequel. What happened in the 5 years they were sitting around?
No, what do you got, Diane? You got an answer?
Yeah. So in the comics, when Wanda kind of loses her mind and creates, I think we're going to see the kids. I think we're going to see Vision. I think we're going to get all of it, and that will shoehorned in for the young Avengers. That's what I hope we see.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I mean, she basically branches off her own strip of reality, right? Just to avoid what's already happened. So that's a perfectly valid approach to the show.
And she could possibly be the big bad for the next phase of the Marvel Universe if they wanted to go that way.
Yeah, we'll see the
Scarlet Witch who did Avengers Disassembled.
Yeah. And you know what that means? That means we might see Jack of Hearts.
Oh, keep your fingers crossed. There's going to be a Jack of Hearts movie.
I will fuck you in the ass with a pineapple if you've made that a reality in our fucking realm. That like a small pineapple. Like I'll shop around. I'll go to like 5 different Whole Foods. Is that the biggest pineapple? You sure? Because I'm going to fuck someone in the ass with this.
Oh, I'd still love a Jack of Hearts movie.
Now I want to see a Jack of Hearts movie just so I can see what Tom does. Because that's going to be on his YouPorn channel.
I will use gasoline as lube on this thing, man.
So one of the great things about this movie is it gives us a third act for some of these characters, which the comic books never can do. Because there's never a whole story for a comic book character because it's always going to go on to the next storyline. But this does give us a complete storyline for 3 of the Avengers. The Black Widow, Captain America, and Iron Man. And, Hawkeye and Hulk and Thor can continue on. They don't have their endings written yet. So what did you guys think of Captain America getting his happy ending?
I have a thought. I kind of felt like it was written in at the last second. While I think hypothetically, I'm generally speaking, I don't mind the concept that Captain America got a happy ending. I kind of feel like that was
This is like, are we just like turning this into a Robert Kraft story?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Are we not doing phrasing?
No. Phrasing, Lana!
I like the idea of them trying to do something like that. I just don't think they did a very good job with it. I kind of felt like it was Chris Evans like, yeah, I'm done. Write me out of these things. That's what I think happened.
I mean, time travel ruined something in a movie? Who could have figured?
I feel like Captain America wouldn't have taken the happy ending. I feel like Captain America, the Captain America that I've read in the comics – would not give up being Captain America because he couldn't sit on the sidelines and stop doing what's right for people.
Okay, so my thought is this. He goes back. He's with Peggy. He's going to be around her family. So that makes that kiss of Winter Soldier a little weird. That is his grandniece. That's really gross.
I think it's actually pretty great the way it ended, because I think we got to see Tony Stark and Captain America change roles. Well, we got to see Tony Stark go from the guy who was more concerned about himself to the guy who jumped on the grenade. And we've seen Cap go from the guy who jumped on the grenade to the guy who went and finally found some things for himself. And we saw them switch at the end. I thought that was an interesting way to take that ending.
I just want to say, Diane, you made it weird. You made it weird, Diane. you made it kind of weird, buddy.
All right, so Diane didn't make it weird. The storytellers did, because he did definitely make out with his niece. But forget about that part.
I'm okay with that.
I think from a storytelling point of view, Seth is dead on, that they finally switched the roles and there's that great juxtaposition. But from it basically says that the whole Captain America that we've seen this whole time, who can do this all day long, who's never going to quit, quits. It kind of says his whole character arc was to turn him into a quitter. That doesn't seem like it. You're now saying that Cap goes back in time, knows that Hydra is infecting S.H.I.E.L.D. and is cool with it and doesn't bother to warn anybody. He also decides, I know Bucky has been kidnapped and being tortured by the Russians, but I'm going to let that happen because I know in the end everything's going to work out. Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's built into his character. However, I can fix all that because I can explain how time travel works.
You know, Bucky's only going to have like 3 decades of like living hell as a Russian puppet. I mean, it'll be fine.
But that's the thing, though.
We don't know how that turns out, actually. That could be something he does in a different reality.
We don't know anything about his timeline. Maybe he goes back, he does that one dance, and then that he's fucking Captain America again until he's fucking old in that reality. He brings back a shield.
Well, isn't Peggy like in her 50s if he went back to 1970 to be with her?
That's all right. She's still hot.
I think he went back again. I think he went all the way back, because those cars outside the house were like 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I was him, I'd go all the way back.
That's what I would think, too. Yeah. But, you know, he was in 1970, and we did get to see a shot of him staring at her through the window, and she did not look like she was in her 50s.
Yeah, she just looks good. My wife's in her 50s. She doesn't look like she's in her 50s.
Oh, my God.
Didn't
your
say
wife
you look
is
bad
so
in your 50s. I just
your wife is so
different.
Hot, Mike.
That's all.
I'm just saying your wife, man, she's so hot, Mike. So hot.
Thanks. I did outkick my coverage.
You're making it weird.
Sorry. All right. So I don't want to go too long on this because we have this multiverse going on here with our extra people. What were some of the better Easter eggs you saw? Mikey, what was one of your favorite Easter eggs?
On your left.
On your left. That was a
Falcon comes in. It's a callback to the Winter Soldier when he first meets him. I thought that all the interactions with Cap and Falcon is great. I mean, Cap at the beginning of the movie when he's doing the survivor group is exactly what Sam did. So Cap, in Sam's absence, decides to take his place to help people cope with their grief. So it really shows you the bond that Cap and Falcon have. And it makes sense at the end when he gives them the shield.
So I got to say, there were a lot of callbacks, but fewer Easter eggs than I wanted to see. Although I did like seeing the original Ant-Man helmet in the past.
Yeah. Yep.
And one of the things that was actually and now I just completely lost my train of thought. Keep going.
What do rabbits look like on Asgard? Can anybody tell me that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, they're awful. They're I actually have an answer for this. They're these monstrous, terrible, humongous, monstrous things. They talk about them in the first movie, and in the comics they're mentioned all the time. They're giant villainous creatures. Hideous.
And who thought Thor Dark World was going to be so important?
Yeah.
Because that, let's face it, that's probably the shittiest movie out of all of the
Awesome,
Iron Man 2 and that one. You know, those are the two shittiest movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
So awful.
So bad. Natalie Portman got paid a lot for that nap, though, I bet.
I bet.
One of my favorite little Easter eggs that was kind of silly and kind of a toss-away is this was the first time we heard Avengers Assemble. Not really an Easter egg, but, I mean, it was nice. It was like, fuck yeah.
But it was so quiet. I was expecting it to be a shout. It was like – but it was like
– yeah.
It had gravitas.
I was on the edge of my seat when Cap is in the elevator and all those other people walk in on the elevator. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be another fight scene. Oh, it's going to be another fight scene. It's going to be awesome. And then when he does Hail Hydra, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a big screw you to all those people
that
who hated Nick
Spencer's
comic.
That is such a good Easter egg.
That was good,
such a good Easter egg. I also kind of wanted him to say, does anyone want to get off the elevator?
Yeah.
Cheeseburgers.
Get cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers.
Oh,
that's all I gotta say.
I cry.
That's right.
Don't make us cry again. That was one of the most emotional things in that entire thing.
Don't worry. I'll get you all the cheeseburgers you want, man.
That's so sweet. that hit Mikey really hard.
That's right.
It hit a couple of us really hard. It was very emotional.
Mm.
And
nice callback.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprised we didn't see more of Aunt May.
And speaking of great callbacks,
we all wanted to see more of Aunt May.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that in the last 5 years, Happy's been banging Aunt May. I'm just saying,
yeah,
I'm just going to throw that out.
A lot
there.
Of Aunt May.
But I did love Rocket reaches over.
That's why in the trailer.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, that's why in the trailer, I think Spider-Man's like, when did this happen? I think that's been in the 5 years. That's all I was going to point.
I loved when Rocket reaches over and holds Nebula's hand. I started crying at that. I'm looking at a cyborg and a talking raccoon hold hands, and I'm crying at that moment like, oh, that's really freaking sweet.
I cried when a fucking tree died in Guardians of the Galaxy. It didn't even fucking die. By the way, I've cut down like 50 to 150 trees in my lifetime back on the farm. Never shed a tear.
Vin Diesel's best role.
Vin Diesel, oh my God, so emotional.
Yeah, I told you he plays Gorth the Rogue.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I could use a little more Drax.
Yeah, they kind of gave him a very, very limited amount of screen time for Drax.
So I saw a screen cap. And I didn't know it I hadn't seen the screen cap, but apparently Howard the Duck was in that giant battle.
Was there. Yeah.
Nice.
Because Howard the Duck's going to get it done. Oh, Thanos? Send in the duck.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair.
No, send in Squirrel Girl. Apparently she beat Thanos by herself in the comics.
That's right.
She could totally kick his ass.
Totally kick that dude's ass.
Unacceptable.
All right, we've been going on for a while. We talked a lot about the movie. We all loved it. No one hated it.
Josh.
I don't... Josh, you didn't hate this movie, did you?
I didn't hate the movie, no.
All right. And you thought it was an okay ending, even though there was time travel?
That's the problem. It's not an ending because of time travel.
You're wrong, but okay. Sometimes you have to have a multiverse in such a fantastical universe.
Now you can find another way around.
I would like to know your understanding of time travel in this movie, because some people apparently have like different interpretations.
Please, Mike, keep it short. Go.
The directors and the screenwriters both have different interpretations.
Yeah,
they do.
So
that's
a problem in and of itself. But this is the way I correct it in my brain, that you can't change your past. So every time you time travel, it's based on your perspective. You're creating a timeline that only exists while you're there and when you leave, that timeline is destroyed unless you remove an Infinity Gem. If you remove an Infinity Gem, then that timeline has an alternate timeline based on what the Ancient One told us. And that's why they go back and replace the gems the moment after they take him out of that reality, destroying that alternate timeline. So therefore, the timeline we're in, that's why Cap is still in that timeline. He travels back into the past, and it's all based on his perspective. So it's all still one linear timeline. There.
So what you're saying is, what you're saying is, as long
and when Cap dies, this wipes out the entire universe.
Awesome.
as long as we put the jade egg back in Gwyneth Paltrow's vajayjay, everything's okay. Is that what I'm hearing?
As long as I get to put it there. But yes, it's okay.
Thanks for bringing us back to that callback from a different podcast, idiot.
It's okay.
All right. Well, this podcast could go on forever talking about this, but I don't want it to because I think we all agree this was a great movie.
Yes.
Right?
And don't worry, we'll have this podcast again several times. And you can just pick the one that fits you best. And whatever outcome you really want to see, that's the one you get to choose.
Are you saying we have an infinite number of this exact same podcast?
That's right. Because it's now we're in a multi-podcast, not a regular podcast.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure podcast.
That's what the multiverse is.
That's exactly what the multiverse is. And because we have so many special guests, we're not going to do the front of the long box. We're not going to do the back of the long box.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures. And you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Because I want to hear what everyone has to say about Josh's tangent this week. Josh, give me a tangent to take us out.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you're on the spot, buddy. Come on, man.
On the spot. Can I time travel back and pick like 9 tangents? And everyone can just pick their own tangent out of those tangents?
Well, should have already happened. Should have already happened if you could time travel.
Seriously.
Yeah.
If you could see any outcome that wasn't already predicted or shown in Endgame, which direction would you like to see that take? Could it be anything? Any timeline? Any character? Any time stream, any difference. It could be a new movie, an old movie, anything that had to do with this film that has not been shown as of yet. What do you take? What's the one out?
Here's my one out. There's nothing going to change my mind on this one. As all those heroes are coming in, all those circles are being made, all those portals are coming in, fucking Luke Cage, Daredevil and Jewel pop the fuck in. Come on.
I'll agree with that.
Thank you.
So now,
all right, I say that we go back and we get Ultron and make the greatest sex robots the world has ever seen and fix this timeline.
Diane, you don't know Seth's podcast that well, but they're kind of sex positive on the robots. Mikey, what do you
That's
got?
That's right.
I've attempted to listen.
that's the nicest backhanded compliment I think I've ever heard. So I will go with, now that Iron Man is dead, you see at the end of the movie, I would have this one Easter egg with somebody breaking into Stark Tech and stealing a bunch of stuff so that way we can have Stilt Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
All right, I was against you until then, and then you said Stilt Man, because I want Riri so bad.
Well, I mean, I think it's obvious. We've already got a supercharged energy being in Captain Marvel. It's time to bring another one to the forefront that should have been here all along. Jack of Hearts should have been at Endgame, and he should have been blasting Thanos. And that's how the movie should have ended. It should have been with Jack of Hearts blasting the hell out of Thanos and Thanos dying of radiation burns.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I hardly ever wish cancer on anyone.
I just love to see a reaction every time I bring him up.
So I am taking the end credit idea from Mikey. I think the best way for Disney to introduce the X-Men to this would have been had the end credit scene being Rogue and Captain Marvel grappling. Was that on the
Golden Gate Bridge?
It's Golden Gate Bridge, yeah.
And Rogue taking all of Captain Marvel's powers. That would have been, for me, the greatest ending for the MCU Phase 1.
Okay, I would go to the opening scene of this movie. Clint's on the farm with the family. They get dusted. He moves to Bedford Stuy. He buys an apartment building, gets a dog, and fights the tracksuit mafia. Perfect
is that
movie.
Dog name? Is that dog Lucky name?
He needs a dog.
Yeah. I have a question on that, too.
Gold retriever.
I have a question on that. So if something like that happens to somebody where they lose all their wife and kids, and then in the 5 years that go by, you move on, you get another wife, you have more kids, and then your old family is snapped back into existence.
You got some what happens?
To what happens? Do you just get two families?
I think there's some legal contention in the system. That I think you just moved to Utah and call it water under the
assholes?
Bridge.
Yeah, for one thing, you're like, fucking thanks a lot, Avengers.
Yeah, like I can afford this.
I don't think 5 years would be long enough for me to move on. Mikey, you're the other Mikey, Tommy, Josh. You're married. What do you think?
I don't think I could ever move on, Tom.
I really don't think I could.
That's the right answer, but there's some savages in this world that would definitely move on. So
you know, how you feel is irrelevant to the monsters that live in this world.
Seth is already building a version 2.0 of the sex robot.
That's right.
So he has already started to move on.
I think Seth brings up a valid point that there are a bunch of savages in this world who, as their significant other was dusting, they were looking at over at somebody else like, well, it's the end of the world. We might as well do this right now, right? Yeah.
Yep. Definitely happened. Found new love. Had another kid. 3 years old.
And Diane, don't think you're not on the short list. You're on the short list. I just think I'll be inconsolable for at least 5 years.
I think you would be inconsolable for a lot longer. I think you would be lost without me.
I honest to God, for all my guff and bluster, I honest to God think I would be too. I really am a troll that should be living under a bridge, like right now. There's like no reason I should be in a house talking English. I should be yelling at goats going over my fucking bridge.
And let's face it, if
you are talking English,
yeah, mostly.
Yeah,
I would have probably been the one dusted, not my wife. Just that's my luck.
You guys would be snapped back and be like, who
if I came back and my wife had moved on, I'd be like, yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
We could see this coming.
Now, my wife, Lady. She loves me exactly as much as her computer programming allows, and I honest to God don't see her allowing any other being in that programming. She'll be fine. She'll just be, you know, her own self-contained self. She cried during when Adam Sandler sang on Saturday Night Live about Chris Farley. She looked over at me and she said, I understand why this is making you cry. I was crying so hard I needed a Gatorade and an IV drip. But she at least acknowledged that she understood why it was sad.
Oh, I wanted to see my Domino ending. That's what I wanted to see. So at the very ending of the movie, I wanted to see Domino there killing Thanos. Thanos looking at Domino going, I thought I killed you. Domino going, oh, just lucky, I guess. Thanos dies. Snap. Deadpool materializes in front of her, and she's like, oh, shit, not you. And Deadpool's like, you really do love me. I knew you'd bring me back from the dead. That's what I would have liked to have seen, but no one's going to film that.
Yeah, no one's going to film that.
See, and that's not where
I'll film that
going.
In my backyard with the sex robot.
I thought you were going to go with Howard the Duck. Killing Thanos.
No.
It would have been awesome if Deadpool just popped in while Thanos and Captain Marvel were wrestling over the gauntlet, and Deadpool just pops in, shoots them both in the head, and grabs the gauntlet and disappears because he's using Cable's time travel device.
Now, what would have been great is if Deadpool jumped in while they were wrestling over the gauntlet and went, hot, and then was gone. Hot, and then boom. Because that's Deadpool.
Yeah, he just pops in and is like, oh, this is the wrong place. Sorry, my bad.
And he just popped in. He was like, don't worry, folks, time travel will save everything. And then popped out. Because time travel.
Am I wearing pants? I am. Awesome. Boom. Gone. Or, like, grab something random off the battlefield. Like, nothing. And he grabs something and just disappears. And you're like, what the fuck? What? And he just didn't fuck with us. Actually, that would have been really funny.
It would have been.
Yeah.
At Tony's funeral, when they're like that thing is just floating out into the water, and it's very sad. Like you just see Deadpool popping up above the waterline, just watching the thing float past him.
So that was what, Tom, you just nailed the thing I forgot. I was so disappointed. Rocket never got the Winter Soldier's arm.
Yeah. He really should have been something.
Yet.
Time travel. Thank you.
I kind of wanted the cutscene at the end to be like Tony Stark's chest device floating off, and then just caption underneath being like, this is not an approved way to dispose of an arc reactor. Please bring this to an acceptable recycling center. Something like that as the cutscene.
Speaking of which, that probably wasn't an acceptable way to get rid of an arc reactor.
I know.
Yeah. I'm with you, buddy. I'm hardly ever with you, but I'm with
you. A pond full of sunken arc reactors. What are you talking about?
9 different Tonys down there from different multiverses.
So, well, all those Iron Man suits in Iron Man 3 were all powered by arc reactors. The whole fucking Marvel universe is littered with that shit.
Littered, just a huge Superfund site.
Yeah, there's literally like a 9-year-old kid running his fucking RC racetrack with an arc reactor in the Midwest somewhere. Yeah. Like, nobody fucking cares about it. It's always going
that's how we finally get the Frog of Thunder. It's actually just a mutation.
He's called Throg.
Sorry. All right. I hate to do it, but I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Long Box, guys. Does anyone have any plugs? Seth, you probably have a pretty good plug for us.
That's right up the ass. Let's go, man. I got, Who's Next
Podcast.
Like
your goddamn podcast. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Who's Next Podcast. You can check that out. We talk a lot of video game stuff, but we also did an Avengers Endgame review. We also got Losing Lives, where we talk shit about terrible movies that are much, 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 much more terrible than this movie that are based off video games. So also, Gamer Needs Food Badly, where we cook food. You can see some of the video on Instagram and Facebook, as well as our YouTube channel, where we have the whole videos there. We are actually doing an in-game themed food coming soon. Wow. So that
what's
is
the food like last meal. What?
No, it's gonna be. I don't mind telling you. It's gonna be like a big burger. This kind of I got the idea from the peanut butter sandwich that they had there. And you'll kind of see how that plays into it, how I plan on shooting the stuff. But I want to do
the Elvis peanut butter sandwich?
Yeah, that. So, but I want to do an in-game burger, and I want to do it with like a toaster burger. But I want three different kinds of meats on it: hamburger meat, chicken, and ham, and just every topping I can put on that fucking burger. And that's going to be the end game.
You do know that hamburger meat is beef, right?
Yeah, beef. Yeah.
Not necessarily.
It's not steak. Yeah.
What are you going to do for the fried cybernetic arm?
Nothing. But we're just going to top it all up. The three meats, I figured ham is for Fat Thor. The beef is, of course, cheeseburgers for Iron Man. And, of course, Captain America's lean chicken. So I figured those three meats would be representative of our trinity there, And then, of course, at Endgame, everybody shows up. So I'm going to put every fucking topping I can put on the burger.
Oh, my God. Do you remember the everything burger at – what was that restaurant?
Wires. Wires.
McGuire's.
I have one.
Seth, have you ever seen the everything burger at McGuire's? Diane, tell them what's on the everything burger.
Well, I didn't eat it. Remy did. But it was everything. There was ice cream and – jalapenos and peanut butter.
Chocolate
sauce. It was
crazy. Wow.
It's on that burger.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll go.
There was cheese. The ice cream with the cheese was kind of weird. There was chocolate sauce, peanuts. I think there was a cherry. Was there a cherry?
Yes, there was. There
should have been a cherry. There needed to be a cherry. There was some bread in there somewhere. It was interesting.
The everything burger had 35 ingredients.
I think I have a picture.
It was $12.95.
Because no one can eat the goddamn thing because it had a big scoop of ice cream on top of my hamburger. It's gross.
So I don't know if we'll put ice cream on the burger, but I definitely want to put a bunch of different stuff on it. But in the meantime, we did do the breakfast grenade. So you can check that out on our YouTube channel. Good morning, breakfast grenade. And we did Dante's Make the Devil Cry Pizza and Dante's Strawberry Sundae. Those are the two latest videos.
Delicious.
So the garbage burger at McGuire's Pub is a 3/4-pound grilled black Angus hamburger, liverwurst, corned beef, sautéed onions, sautéed mushrooms, jalapenos, black olives, banana peppers, pineapple rings, wasabi, guacamole, pepperoncinis, chili, sour cream, marinara, barbecue sauce, peanut butter, tomato, red onion, 5 types of cheese, bacon, remoulade sauce, ice cream, hot fudge, and a maraschino cheese on top with an iron flags. It's top heavy. They need to hold it up with a stick.
I'm there sorry, you did go. You say 5 pounds of cheese?
5 types.
Five types. That's better than 5 pounds.
We did do a Batman burger that was a 5-pound Break the Bat burger on
We watched that and saw that and worried about you. That wasn't a podcast. That was a cry for help.
That's not a burger. That's a meatloaf.
Hey, we cooked the burger all the way through. And it was done as best of a burger as possible, but yes, it's basically meatloaf.
What was the breakfast that you guys did?
The breakfast grenade? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what I did was I took a potato and we cut it in half and stuffed it with scrambled eggs, cheese, and bacon. And then we pushed the potato together, wrapped it in bacon, and took a bacon stick and stuck it at the top like a wick, like a grenade. And that was it. We roasted it in the oven and all that stuff.
I remember watching. Usually when I watch your videos on this, it gives me heartburn just watching. But I was watching the breakfast one going, I think I could eat that. That looks really tasty.
You could hold the potato in your hand like a grenade. And you could actually – we just ate it like in our hands. So it came out good. I thought it came out pretty good. Not all of them are crazy, but some of them are.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the extended Long Box Guys Assembled.
We do have to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And we'd also like to thank our friends at geekorthodox.com who couldn't be with us here with us tonight. They wanted to, but they have not been able to see Avengers Endgame because their poor little Frenchy Magic has been pooping up a storm.
Yeah, poor Magic's had diarrhea now for about 2 weeks. Poor little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Magic, get better. I know you listen to this.
and let's see if we can do this correctly. Tommy. Sweet, sweet Tommy. What do you got to say, buddy?
This is not the podcast you desire, but it is the podcast you deserve.
And Seth, this isn't your podcast. What would you say to this podcast?
Fuck that robot.
Fuck that robot. And Diane, you are the gatekeeper of all of Pensacola, Florida. Is that your sector?
Yes, it is.
Pensacola is definitely your sector. And Remy, what would you like to say, little buddy?
Freundleben.
Freundleben. Freundleben.
Freundleben.
Mikey. Sweet, sweet Mikey. What's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh, you're off to the Game of Thrones Nashville con in just a couple of weeks now. When is that?
No, so I got Epic Nerd Camp June 28th to July 2nd, and then Con of Thrones July 12th to the 14th, all of which I'll be teaching sword classes at.
And are those
and they
your
are my
sectors?
Sector.
Damn right they are. And did I forget anybody? Everyone got something? Good. Don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live a lot longer. And thanks for listening to our podcast about the Endgame.
Just give the thumbs up like, hey, I'm done. And that way they can start talking. Set.
How about you just do your job and cut the long pauses out?
Hey, how about you shut the fuck up? Because I edit my podcast. Unlike you who are like, hey, I'm going to pause the podcast. And then you pause your podcast. But then you come right back on like, hey, sorry about that. We're back. There was no fucking lapse in time for me as the listener.
That's right.
You are the worst time traveler ever. Every podcast, I travel in time when I listen to you.
That's right.